Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. You're the chief cornerstone. You're the stone that the builders rejected. But you're the stone that we've accepted.
Yes,
Lord. We're thankful for that, oh God, that you're with us always. You're with us always. And this is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You can be seated. Well, we're continuing in our message that we started last week. This is going to be a series. This is part two. We're calling it First and Foremost. We're talking about God's Word. I don't know about you. I love God's Word. I love God's Word. I don't know what happened to me, but the moment I gave my life to Jesus, I just fell in love with God's Word. I started memorizing verses. You know, that's something we don't talk about anymore. When I was young in the church world, our pastor and he encouraged us, memorize the Word. People say, I can't memorize it. Yes, you can. You can memorize it. And the way I started memorizing it, when I was going through something, let's just say I was going through a difficult time, then I'd start memorizing scriptures that would help me to deal with those difficult times. You know, I love that scripture in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It says, it says, be not dismayed. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you. And so God is with us. And I would go through these scriptures, just start memorizing things. And so, anyway, let's get started. You got your notes there. There's no way around it. Follow me. Same introduction on all three messages. There's no way around it. The faith of a follower of Jesus stands or falls on two things. Stands or falls on two things. What are they? Number one, on the inspiration of the Scripture. On the inspiration of the Scripture. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. And so I need that. I need that. The Bible says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. There's not an Assembly of God interpretation, Catholic, Baptist, any other interpretation. There is the interpretation, and that's what we're after. For holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The words that you have in your Bibles are the words that God spoke to His people. And He's preserved it and kept it and passed it down to us so that generation after generation would have His Word and we would know how to live. Amen? And it's so important. It's just so important that you study God's Word, that you learn God's Word, that you memorize. There's no way around it. The faith of a follower of Jesus stands or falls on two things. Number one, what was it? The inspiration of the Scripture, and on the deity of Jesus Christ. You know, some people are getting away from that now. But Jesus Christ was God. If you follow the Muslim religion, Islam, you know, they talk about that we believe in Allah, and Muhammad is His prophet. He's just a prophet. But in Christianity, God came down in human flesh. I was looking at not 1 John, but John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning of God. All things were made by Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And in Him was life, and His life was the light of men. Verse 11, John chapter 1, verse 11, it says, He came into His own, and talking about the Jews, He came into His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power and the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's one of my first memory verses. I loved it. Who were born, listen to this, who were born not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, nor of blood, but of God. But of God. And the Word became flesh. This is what makes Christianity different from any other religion. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what makes us different. No other religion claims that. And that's what makes us different. So God's Word is living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Last week we talked about the Bible. God's Word is what? Everything. The Bible is everything. The Bible is everything. The Bible is, it is. God's Word is everything. And if we're going to make it, if we're going to live the way God said we could live and be what God said we could be, we need His Word in our lives, working in us all the time. Go down here, A there, it says, Pastor Dan, it says that, I've come to believe. I think this is one of the neat things that I've written here. I've come to believe that God's commands are a window into His soul. I used to think the commands were like, God gave me all these commands and I couldn't live up to them. Be holy. For I am holy. Matthew 5:28 says, be perfect, blameless, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And I would look at some of these promises and I would say, there's no way that I can do this. There's absolutely no way I can live up to the standard that God would want me to live. But I've come to believe that God's commands are a window into His soul, revealing His needs and the work He will do in each person who is willing to walk with Him. Commandments, I used to think, were grievous. They were like, they become things to torture me. But I've come to a different conclusion. They're windows into God's soul, and it also reveals what He's prepared to do in me if I walk with Him. Amen? Let's keep reading there, and then we'll get into what we're going to talk about today. We hinder Jesus from empowering us when we say, I can't do or I can't be what God wants me to be. When we say we can't do it, we can't become it, we can't accomplish it, we can't, it's not going to happen in our lives, we hinder God. Well, I can't stop this. I can't stop smoking. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop drugging. I can't stop doing all the other stuff. I can't stop gossiping. We can do it. God will empower us to do it. I cannot be what God wants me to be. I cannot do what God wants me to do. We hinder Him when we take that attitude. The commandments do not deal with the actuality of our weakness. The commandments do not deal with the actuality of our weakness, but with the potentiality of the strength that is ours through relationship with God. The power to keep every command is provided by the One who gave us every command to keep. And the Bible says, I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, have I arrived at perfection yet? Well, if you know me, if you've been around me for 10 minutes or more, you know that I haven't arrived. But I'm on a journey. And my journey is to be everything that God wants me to be, to do everything that God wants me to do, to accomplish everything that God wants me to accomplish. That's my goal in life. That's what I strive for. That's what I'm seeking for. So, we're talking about God's Word. It's imperative for growth. Say that. It's imperative for growth. God's Word is imperative for growth. Peter, writing, Peter said, 2 Peter 3:18, Peter says, But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever and ever. The moment you stop growing, you stop reaching, stop reaching out for God, is the moment you begin to go backwards. Now, I know that we're not always just moving forward. There's sometimes we're just holding ground. The Bible talks about that. It says, we're having done all to stand, to stand. Sometimes we're just standing, but we always must be advancing as we walk with Jesus. And we do that through His Word. I love these scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says, get rid of all evil behavior. Get rid of all evil behavior. Now, Peter's talking, right? Get rid of all evil. Now, Peter's pretty bold talking like that, isn't he? Wasn't he the one when Jesus was in the garden on the eve of His crucifixion, and Jesus came and they said, hey guys, I want you to pray. I'm going to go over here a little bit. And when He came back, they're all asleep. And Jesus addresses Peter personally and says, Peter, can't you pray with me for an hour? And Jesus goes back and they're sleeping again. And Jesus said, rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So this same Peter says, get rid of all evil behavior. Have nothing to do with deceit. Deceit. Hypocrisy. Jealousies. Oh, now listen to this. You say, well, I'd never do any of that. And all unkind speech. Deceit. Now, Peter said, get rid of all evil behavior. hypocrisies, jealousies, deceit, and all unkind speech. Now listen to this. Like a newborn baby, crave. Now listen to this. Like a newborn baby, crave. How many of you guys have had children throughout your lifetime? How many of you had grandchildren? How many of you know that if you had grandchildren first, you would have never had those children to start with? You know, some of you guys hadn't arrived there yet, but you will, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I remember in 1976, it was September the 5th. So I think it was the 7th when we brought our first son home, you know. And when we brought him home, well, life changed. I think life would have been easier if he would have just stayed put where he was at. You know, but we brought him home, and I remember no sleep that night. And poor Miss Nancy, you know, she didn't get any sleep, and I was over there not getting any sleep. And about every 2 to 3 hours, what was he doing? Crying. Why was he crying? Because he wanted to be fed. What did we feed him? Milk. So Peter says, crave the pure spiritual milk of God's Word that you may grow into a full salvation experience. Cry out for this nourishment now that you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness. How many of you have experienced the Lord's kindness? All of us have, haven't we? And so he's saying, cry out for this nourishment now that you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness. That should motivate us. When God has been good to us, it should motivate us to cry out for more. Do you hear what I'm saying? When God has been good to us, it should motivate us to cry out for more. Get rid of all evil behavior, all deceit, hypocrisies, jealousies, and all unkind speech. And then, like a newborn baby, crave the pure spiritual milk of God's Word that you may grow into a full salvation experience. Cry out for this nourishment now that you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Wow. I want to grow up, don't you? I remember one of my friends, his name was Jerry. Jerry got killed in a car wreck in 2001. I did his funeral, and that was one of the hardest things I ever did. But Jerry was working for a church. He got hurt real bad, and he went back to the world. Jerry and I came from more or less the same world. He went back to drugs. He went back to smoking. He went back to alcohol, and he ate like crazy. Jerry got over 350 pounds. He was about a little bit bigger than I was, but his weight got to be over 350 pounds. And he was just killing himself. He was just killing himself. So his grandmother was dying, and he went to North Carolina to see his grandmother and his uncle. His uncle, he didn't like his uncle because his uncle was a self-made millionaire. And Jerry always thought that his uncle was trying to always boast and brag. And so guess who picked him up at the airport? Uncle. I believe his name was Herb. Uncle Herb picked him up at the airport. So as they were riding along in the car, it was a couple-hour drive. As they were riding along in the car, Uncle Herb asked him, Jerry, how come you quit ministry? How come you gave up ministry? Jerry, how come you started smoking? How come you're drinking now? How come you're messing with drugs again? Jerry, why? And Jerry said, you just wouldn't understand. You just wouldn't understand what I went through, what they put me through, the things that they did. You just wouldn't understand. And Uncle Herb, as it's going along, and Uncle Herb was listening to his sad story, he said this to him. He said, son, you know what you need to do? Grow up. Grow up. Now, Jerry at that time told me he wanted to tell him where to go, and it wasn't heaven. And but he said, and I really believe this was the Lord, Jerry does too. He said, those words kept echoing in his mind. Grow up, grow up, grow up. He couldn't get away from it. When he went back home, he was living in Tulsa, Oklahoma. When he went back home with his wife, it was like, grow up, grow up. First thing he did was stop smoking, quit drinking, quit messing around with drugs, smoking pot and all that stuff. He started working out. He got into a workout program. I don't know, took about a year, maybe a little more than a year. He went from 350 to 190. And he went lower than that, but 350 to 190. He was a high school dropout. Jerry was a high school dropout. He went back, he got his GED. He went to college. He went to college and he got his degree in education. You teachers out there, he got his degree in education and he started teaching middle school English. That was the craziest thing. He couldn't speak English. His vocabulary before he got saved was, wow, that was about it, you know? And started teaching middle school. He was one of the most popular teachers there. It was just absolutely amazing. And he was really a light to those kids. And he got killed in a car wreck in 2001. It was just sad. That church, there was over 500 people there. And it was just absolutely amazing. Grow up! That's what we need to do. Peter says it. Get rid of all evil behavior. Get rid of all evil behavior. Have nothing to do with deceit, hypocrisies, jealousies, and all unkind speech. Crave the pure spiritual milk of God's Word. Crave the pure spiritual milk of God's Word that you may grow into a full salvation experience. Cry out for this nourishment now that you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness. The little taste of the Lord's kindness that you've gotten is simply to be an appetizer for the main course that's coming. He wants to take you all the way. Amen? He wants to take us all the way into maturity, into development. I love the scripture in Psalms chapter 1. It's probably one of the first ones I memorized too. Psalms chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." We don't think like the world. Guys, we don't think like the world. "Blessed is man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." We don't think like the world. "Nor stands in the way of sinners." We don't act the way the world acts. "Nor sits in the seat of the scornful." We don't talk the way the world. We don't act like the world acts. We don't think like the world thinks. We don't talk like the world talks. We just don't do that. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate." How often? Day and night. So every time that there's a day, every time that there's a night, you need to be meditating in God's Word. It's just so important. But if you do that, the Bible says this, "And he or she will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season." Everyone has a season for blessing. Everyone has a season for prosperity. Everyone has a season for God moving in their lives. And he'll bring forth his fruit in his season. "His leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper." That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper." Whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. And we can talk about that at another time. So we need to, it's imperative. The Word of God is imperative for our growth. It just is. I don't know. I just see some people, you know, the only time they open their Bibles when they come to church. You know, they leave it laying. If I leave my Bible at church, I can't stand it. And I've got a bunch of Bibles, but if I can't stand it, I go get it. I just come and get it. Of course, I only live a mile away, but I go get it. I need it. It's always, there's a Bible pretty close to me wherever I'm at. And so it's important that you and I study God's Word. Oliver Cromwell said this, "If I cease being better, I cease being good. If I cease being better, I cease being good." We always need to grow, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Growth is a journey. Here's one. First Peter. We're doing a lot of Peter today, aren't we? First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. I think it was Second Peter chapter 1 verse 2 says this, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God." Where does your knowledge of God come from? It comes from, listen, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God." Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, who by his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us by his own glory and virtue. Now, here's what I like. Here's what we're getting to. Here's the part. For he has given us exceeding great and precious promises. For he has given us exceeding great and precious promises. He has given us exceeding great and precious promises that by these we may be partakers of the divine nature. See, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his glory and virtue. And then it says, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these promises, we might become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I remember one time I was in church here, and I'd never done it before. It kind of just surprised me. I did this little survey. I said, how many of y'all used to drink and now you don't drink anymore? And several hands went up. How many of you guys used to smoke, you know, and you don't smoke anymore? Several hands went up. And then I said, how many of y'all struggle with lust? And you don't struggle with, no hand went up. No hand went up. And here's what I say to you. Every one of you struggle with lust, whether you stick your hand up or not. Why? Because the Bible says this, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You say, I've never looked at one pornographic picture or video or whatever. Yeah, but you do struggle with lust. All of us do. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. Now, that's the one we don't want to admit to, you know. And the pride of life. We all struggle. You struggle in one of those three areas. All of us do. All of us do. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We all do. But thank God. Thank God for his promises, for spiritual growth. He helps us to overcome and go beyond those things and live beyond them. So when we talked about Peter, Peter goes on and says several things. Now let's look at the second thing. Number two, it reveals, God's word reveals what he needs from me. What does God need from you? Sometimes we take God and we put him on a little shelf and we only pull him out when we need him. That's not the relationship God wants to share with you. God wants to walk with you every day that there's a day, every night that there's a night. He wants to walk with you. He wants to share with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to have relationship with you, a personal relationship with you. He really does. It reveals what God needs from me and what I can expect from him. God's word reveals what he needs from me and what I can expect from him. John 14:21. He who has my commandments. We all have them, don't you? How many has a Bible? Okay, how many doesn't have a Bible? Well, I'll give you one before you leave. We got 200 or 300 in the back there. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. Now Jesus is saying this. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. You said, Pastor Dan, I can't keep the commandments. You hear one of the commandments is love your enemies. That's a nice commandment, isn't it? And I always say it's difficult enough to try to love your friends. They'll get on your nerves. and it just don't always work out with them the way you think it's going to. You said, there's no way that I can keep. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. You say, how can I do that, Pastor? Now listen, follow this verse. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will manifest or reveal myself to him. The revelation from God's word as you walk with him will empower you to do what you can't do in your natural. See, God doesn't want you to live a natural life. He don't want you to respond the way that you respond naturally. Some of you just have natural inclinations for things that you wrestle with, and some of you don't struggle with some things like others of us do, but we all struggle. But it's the revelation of Jesus Christ that we receive when we walk with Him that will empower us to be and do what He wants to do. What He wants us to do. I never thought I could quit smoking. That was the first miracle. I mean, it was just a miracle. I'd been smoking since I was 11 years old. When I was 12 years old, my dad didn't care that I smoked. He really didn't. He said I could smoke. I just got to do it on my own. Of course, things were a little different back then. They didn't have the advertisement on the cigarette packs. I remember I was smoking when they put that on there. I think it was 1964. When it says cigarette smoking may be hazardous to your health. Remember that? Now, I think it's even stronger than that now, that it is hazardous to your health. And I tell you guys, if you struggle with that, get rid of it, because I have walked the hospital corridors, you know, now for 30 years, and I've seen people's lives devastated with that little tiny cancer stick. And it's horrible. It's absolutely... I didn't ever think I could... That was the first miracle that God ever... It was gone. Boom, I had an experience with Jesus, and that was August the 14th, 1971, and I've never smoked another cigarette since. Never. Never. Never wanted to, never struggled. You know what? People trying to quit smoking, they get upset, and you'll see them. They start shaking, and they're going to grab, you know, the... Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, thank you for Jesus for helping me kill myself. All right. But you can do it. You can be. Now listen, God is a just God, isn't He? God's a just God. He wouldn't ask you to do something that He's not going to empower you to do. And He would be unjust of us if He's going to judge us by His word if we don't have the ability to live up to the standard of His word. That would be wrong of Him. So He will empower us as we walk with Him, as His word. This is one of my favorite scriptures, Joshua 1:8. Oh, man. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That was the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that He's talking about. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. There's a lot of successful people in this world, a lot of rich people in this world who've made a fortune, honestly, and work for it. But they're not successful. They're money-making failures because their whole life is centered around money. But the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I look at some of you guys, you know, some of you guys from Michigan, some of you guys are from Indiana, the great state of Indiana, some of you guys are from Massachusetts and all over the place. And I look at you, you've worked hard. You've worked hard. And God has blessed you. And you have a house here, you have a house there, and we want you to sell the house there and just come here. You just need to be here. And it's not that hot in the summer. That's why we have air conditioning. That's why we have a beach. Just go jump in it. But you've worked hard, and God has blessed you. But those blessings mean nothing unless we put Jesus Christ first in our life. He gives us good success. And I know most of you. Some I know very well, and some I know casually. But you have worked hard, and you are good people. God wants to bless you. He wants to help you to grow and grow and grow and grow. And to gain and gain and gain and gain. What for? What for? So that you and I can advance the preaching of the gospel into all the world and make a difference in our world. Let's just close. You ready to close? You ready to close? Okay, if we just have to. God's word gives us lots of promises. And I stand on those promises. I remember when I was in my first church, in our first church. Nancy and I went there, and, you know, we had two little boys. And We went to our first church, and we really struggled, you know, because first of all, I had no experience. No experience at all. So every problem was new to me. So many things I didn't expect. And you may experience this too. When I first was called into the ministry, when I first came into the church world, I thought, man, this was a beautiful place. This is a haven. Like the church is a haven. Nobody's ever going to be mean to you. Nobody's ever going to hurt you. Nobody's ever going to betray you. Nobody's ever going to say an unkind thing about you. You know, it didn't take me long being in the church world to realize that ministry is the hardest, meanest, toughest, cruelest work that there is. Why? For this very reason. You don't expect it in church. You expect everybody to be lovely and to be nice. And most of you are. Some of you need a little work, but most of you are. And Nancy and I were in our first church and really struggling, you know, and dealing with problems that I'd never dealt with before, didn't know how to handle it, and, you know, and I made some terrible leadership mistakes and all of that kind of thing. And but in our music department, now you would think with Nancy that it would just all be perfect, but it wasn't. At that time, she could play the piano, but she couldn't play and lead the congregation. She can do it now. Just give her the keyboard and turn her loose, she can do it. But back then, she couldn't. So she played the keyboard because we didn't have anyone else. She played the keyboard and I led. That's why our church never grew. But I led the music. And, you know, I'd been doing that for 2 years. I went to my first church as an assistant pastor. And first thing when I walked in the door, he said, "You're going to lead music." And I'm thinking, does he know how I sing? You know? But I did it for 2 years, and so I was doing it in our first church, and we had this guy in our church, very talented, but he was so stubborn. He was 7 foot tall. He was cantankerous, and he was the stubbornest guy I had ever seen in my whole life. And I remember the day I dismissed him from our praise and worship team and said, "It's done." I was in my office, and my desk was right there by the door. I kept the door open. And he was sitting in front of me, so that if he came across that desk after me, I was going to run right out down. I had an exit. I'm serious. 7 foot tall. A monster. So we dismissed him. And we were struggling. We were just struggling. It was horrible. And so I had this, I don't know if it was God or not. You judge. I had this idea, why should we just keep struggling? We lived in Jacksonville, Florida. How many of you have been to Jacksonville? I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of people in that city. You know, it was a little tiny church on the edge of town, little country church on the edge of town. Why? Somewhere in this city, there's the music person that we need, a piano player that's going to help us. And so I went to the church on a Wednesday night. I had this idea. I went to the church on Wednesday night. I said, "You know, guys," and I just went over. I said, "You know how hard we've struggled with our music? Let's just don't do it anymore. Let's don't do music anymore. Let's don't try to do something that we're just, let's just sing a few courses, a cappella, and let's go into the teaching of the word." And I said, and I asked him a question before I said that. "Do you think God is big enough to send us a piano player out of all these thousands of people in Jacksonville? Do you think he's big enough to do it?" Well, nobody said, somebody spoke of it. God can do anything, right? And so I said, "Okay. Then let's don't do this anymore. Let's just sing a couple nice little courses, a cappella, and let's go into the preaching of the word." So that's what we did on Wednesday night. And everything was fine. I had to do it again Sunday morning, you know, because a lot of people show up Sunday morning that don't show up Wednesday night. So I had to do the whole thing over again. You know, "Hey guys, do you think God's big enough to give us a piano player somewhere and all these thousands of people here in Jacksonville?" "Of course, God can do anything, right?" That's what people said. And then I said, "Okay. If that's the case, then let's just quit struggling through this music program and let's just pray, let's just sing a cappella and pray until God sends us somebody." Right? I said that Sunday morning. We had 4 visitors that Sunday. A guy by the name of Bill and Joyce. A girl by the name, Bill and Joyce were married. A girl by the name of Brenda and a girl by the name of Ann. Right? So we went through the whole thing, did the acapella, had the service, and we were done. That afternoon, I'm at the church getting ready for Sunday night service. And the phone rang. So I answered the phone, and he says, "Hey, I'm Bill. I was in your service this month. I said, oh, yeah, I remember you. I met you. And he said, you know what? I'm a piano player. He said, I can play the piano. He said, I'm a great guitar player, but I'm a piano player also. And he said, you know, we go to a large church across town. Five people have to die before I'm ever going to get an opportunity to be involved in the music ministry there or leave. And he said, I'm just sitting there. I can't. And I was listening to you this morning. God's dealing with me. I would like to come over and talk with you. And so I said, come on. So he came, his wife came, and his son came, who was a drummer. All of them come walking in, and I said, okay, let's hear you play. Man, that guy was amazing. He was absolutely amazing. His wife was a singer. Now, Sunday morning, right, we had no music. Sunday night, Nancy was leading music. Bill was playing the piano. Joyce was one of her singers. Back then, I played bass a little bit. I played the bass. And we had an instant praise and worship team overnight. Those folks stayed with us for over 2 years. For over 2 years. When we went to Oklahoma, they went to Oklahoma with us for 3 years. I mean, just absolutely amazing. It's one of the biggest miracles. And I look back and I said, that was probably a stupid thing to do. But it was one of God's blessings. See, God has a way to take care of you. God will take care of you. He will help you to become what you need to become. He'll help you to do what you need to do. But you've got to hide God's word in your heart and make a habit of it. Amen? It's the greatest thing in the world. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your word. I would be lost today if it wasn't for your word. I wouldn't have anything in life that I could look forward to without your word. Your word gives me hope. Your word gives me help. Your word gives me strength, oh God. Your word speaks that this life is not the only life there is for me, and that I'll live with you forever. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you have a prayer need this morning, I just want you to come.